Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Shalom Aleichem, Assalamu Aleichem, Namaste, Pak Sat Nam, Sat Sri Akal, Tashi Dalek, Ho Lila Taya Wasi Yake. Hello, may everything be well with you as it is with me. Welcome back after the weekend, and we will continue teaching today. I look out my window from my study, from where I teach, and see that it is here in Issaquah, Washington. It's dark and gloomy. The rain is coming down in a steady drizzle, and now it's beginning to turn to sleet. So we're evidently going to have some snow before morning, which is okay for everyone except for travelers on the roads, right? All right. Well, before we get started with today's lesson, we will begin it, as I do every lesson, by reciting the Kaddish for the dead and the mourners of the dead. So please close your eyes as you listen and remember someone to whom you were close who has passed away. In doing so, you'll honor that person's life and bless his or her memory with the light of your own consciousness. Yishkidol v'yishkidash meirabo, bomo divero kirasei, Vayamlik Melkase, Bakaya Yevkon, Uvio Makon, Uvkaya Dekol, Beis Yisrael, Baagalo, Uviz Man, Koryev, Vayimru, Omein. Ye He Shmei Rabo Mavorak, Leolam Ule Ome, Omayo, Yisbarak, Vayistavak, Vayisbarar, Vayisramam, Vayisnase, Vayisadar, Vayisale, Vayisalal, Smeidukad. Shmeidukad sho beraku le'olo min kol urkaso le'sharoso tushbikoso venekamoso da'amirom be'omo ve'imru omein. Yehe shlomo rabo min shamayo ve'kayim aleinu ve'al kol Yisrael ve'imru omein. O se shalom bimromov huyashe shalom aleinu ve'al kol Yisrael ve'imru omein. Thank you very much. Now, as you know, we have begun to teach on some of, well, actually, what we're doing is a short, abbreviated survey of some of the early texts upon which Jewish Kabbalah rely and are founded. And in our last lesson, we discussed Sefer HaTorah, the Torah, as being the foundational mystical text at the root of all Jewish mysticism, not just Kabbalah, but all Jewish mysticism. And we discussed the reasons why we refer to it as a mystical text. And since we have already taught in that, I won't go into that further. But we'll refer you to our last lecture, which is online on our website, on our audio archives page. So if you missed that and are interested in that, go and download our last lecture on Sefer HaTorah. Okay, and we are working our way forward in terms of time as a method of organizing this survey. We're doing it on the basis of chronology. And when were they revealed? When did they come into being, or when were they revealed to mankind? And of course, the Sefer HaTorah, the primordial Torah, existed 2,000 generations prior to the creation of the earth. And or alternately, according to other sources, 2,000 years. And of course, these would be most likely years in terms of God's time, in which we are taught that one day is, for God is, or 1,000 years for man is but one day for God. So you can see how ancient the Torah truly is. Okay, so then the next one would be the next most ancient mystical text. And And what we will discuss today is Sefer HaRaziel and the one after that, the Book of Enoch. Okay, Sefer HaRaziel. First of all, what does that mean? Sefer is book, is Hebrew for book, is an article, the, as in, usually as in of the, and Raziel, Raziel is the name of an angel. And literally, Raziel means, Raz, meaning mystery, El, meaning God, mystery of God. So this is the angel who is the master of God's mysteries. The angel assigned by God to keep those mysteries both hidden and not lost at the same time. Hidden but not lost. Available for whenever they might be needed. And so all of God's mysteries, well, we don't know if it's all of them or not, but since all angels are merely aspects or personalities of God himself, we can assume that this was an aspect of his personality to whom God as a whole assigned the care and keeping of his mysteries. And so we can assume that he was the caretaker, the keeper, the master of all of God's mysteries, not just of some of them, or most of them, but all of them. And therefore he would be referred to as the master of mysteries. Baal Razim, master of mysteries. And the name of this angel was therefore Raziel, the mystery of God. And to talk about this book now, this book of this angel named Raziel, I will read a passage from Zohar. The Zohar, of course, is one of the classical, it's actually the foundational classic text of Kabbalah, upon which Kabbalah, modern Kabbalah, is based. It was redacted, meaning what I mean is prepared for publication or prepared for distribution. I hate to use the word publication because it implies printing presses today, but that's not always what it meant. Back in the medieval times, it didn't necessarily mean by print, but by copying in manuscript form. Excuse me. Get a drink here. This book, which existed orally from the time of the first century, having been originally written down and having been dictated by Elijah, the prophet Elijah, to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his son Eleazar, while they were hiding out in a cave from the Roman occupation of Judea in the first century, was dictated, of course, as I said, by Elijah to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who was the foremost student of Rabbi Akiva, the most famous of the early rabbis, and the only one it said who Rabbi Akiva was the only one it has been taught to us by tradition has been said was able to enter into the orchard and there see the mysteries of the Garden of Eden that have been hidden away for the righteous and be able to return whole of mind and body. The four, if you remember the story, four entered. One lost his mind, another died physically, and the third, Aher, more about which will come later in this talk that I'm giving today, became an apostate. Became not an apostate, that's the wrong term, he became a heretic. He espoused the view that God was not one, but two. And so he became a heretic. The only one to enter in of those four, enter into the holy orchard of God and leave sound of mind and body, was Rabbi Akiva. Now, as I said, the foremost of his students was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who is the redactor. That means the person who put it into the form of manuscripts, ready to be published to other people or handed out, distributed to other students, selected, I might mention, selected students only, a small circle of elite students, of the book called the Zohar, the Book of Radiance, Sefer HaZohar. Now, this lecture isn't about the Sefer HaZohar, but this was by way of background about this, because I'm going to read to you now about the book Sefer HaRaziel from the Sefer HaZohar, an account from the Sefer HaZohar about the book Sefer HaRaziel, the book of the angel of mystery, the angel of God's mysteries. Okay, so here's the quote that I wanted to read you. It comes from section 1, page 37b of the Sansino edition of the Zohar. And here's the quote. Rabbi Abba said, God did indeed send down a book to Adam, from which he became acquainted with the supernal wisdom. It came later into the hands of the sons of God, the wise of their generation, and whoever was privileged to peruse it could learn from its supernal wisdom. This book was brought down to Adam by the Master of Mysteries, preceded by three messengers. When Adam was expelled from the Garden of Eden, he tried to keep hold of this book, but it flew out of his hands. He therefore supplicated God with tears for its return, and it was given back to him, in order that wisdom might not be forgotten of men, and that they might strive to obtain knowledge of their master. Amen. I'll talk to you a little bit about this, give you a little bit of my commentary on this. So what this is talking about, in general, is it's talking about the first book ever revealed to mankind. It was not the Torah. And remember now, the Torah existed 2,000 of God's years and 2,000 generations prior to the creation of the world. But it was not revealed to mankind until it was revealed at Mount Sinai from God, from the Holy One, blessed be He, through Moses to the Israelites who were gathered at the base of the mountain. So that's sometime later than the creation of the world, quite a long time, thousands of years after the creation of the world. So this book here, the Sefer HaRaziel, which simply means the book of the angel Raziel, is the first book that was revealed to mankind. And who was it revealed to? It was revealed to Adam. And it was God who sent it down. He sent it down through his angel of the mysteries of God. That would be Raziel. And in this passage, it's referred to as the Master of Mysteries. So let me read this first part again to you. Rabbi Abba said, God did indeed send a book to Adam. So we know here it wasn't that this angel took it upon himself to do this. Angels are mere functionaries. They do only the task that God has given them. The angel Raziel's task was to be the master of, meaning the caretaker and the keeper of God's mysteries. But it tells us, so it means that Raziel, no angel could do this on his own. That would be contrary to their very nature, contrary to the power structure in the supernal worlds. So an angel can only do one thing, and it can only do the function, that one thing is the function that's assigned to it at the moment of its creation. Okay, and so it tells us here, this is why it tells us here, God did indeed send a book to Adam, from which he became acquainted with the supernal wisdom. So it's telling us here that God sent the book to Adam, and And from that book, Adam became acquainted with the supernal wisdom. What does that mean? That means the wisdom contained in Chokmah. And specifically, what is that wisdom? Well, part of that wisdom we already know from our studies and what I taught last lesson is that Chokmah is the locus. That's the site. It means wisdom, but that's the site of the primordial Torah in terms of the structure of the divine worlds. Remember, the primordial Torah, this is the Torah that that served as the blueprint for God to make the world and the universe and all of its inhabitants, all forms of life in it, including man, was made from the blueprint contained in the primordial Torah. We call it the primordial Torah because it exists 2,000 generations before the creation of the world. And 2,000 of God's years, each one of which is each day of which is 1,000 of our earth years. Okay? So we know that the primordial Torah is this truly ancient book of wisdom and mysteries that is represented by Chokmah, the word Chokmah, which is that aspect of God to which, meaning wisdom, to which the angel Raziel was assigned as the caretaker of those secrets. And so it tells us here in this passage from the Zohar that God did indeed send down a book to Adam from which he became acquainted with the supernal wisdom. So the supernal wisdom he became acquainted with is at least in part, probably the major part, if not all, the primordial Torah, which served as the blueprint from which God made the universe. So Adam had in his hands a book giving him information about the creation of the universe and this world and all the creatures in it, including man. And it goes on to say, it came later into the hands of the sons of God, the wise of their generation, and whoever was privileged to peruse it could learn from its supernal wisdom. Now, this would be an incredibly powerful mystical book. Imagine, a book containing the secrets of God, used by God as a blueprint to construct the universe, design and construct the universe and all its inhabitants, all living beings in it. That would be an incredibly powerful set of knowledge to possess, especially boiled down in the form of a book. Yet this is exactly what it says here, that God gave into the hands of Adam. And then, but it goes on to say, it came later into the hands of the sons of God, and which is B'nai Elohim in Hebrew, B'nai Elohim. And this refers to, it's going to be discussed later, these are the sons of God who we are told came to Enoch and pleaded not to have the earth destroyed prior to the deluge, the flood. The sons of God, what we're referring to here, are the fallen angels, are the descendants of the fallen angels who had intercourse with the daughters of man whom they found attractive. They are called in Hebrew, in Genesis, in the book of Genesis, they're called the Nephilim. The Nephilim. And that just can be translated either as the giants, or which is the more popular translation in terms of it's more familiar with people. I don't mean preferred, but through the translation of the most recent translation of the Zohar by Daniel C. Matt, the Pritzker edition, he translates it as Nephilim, not as giants, but as the fallen ones, and I think that's a superior translation. I think that giants is probably accurate only in the metaphorical sense, that just as we refer to the people at the top of our hierarchical social classifications and stratigraphy, people, you know, the movers and shakers of the world, as the giants of industry, the giants of politics, and things like that. I think that's the sense of the word, that it was translated to mean giants, not physical giants or mythological giants. And the Pritzker translation makes it clear that it should, that the preferred translation is the fallen ones, meaning that they were wicked, that they were evil. They had learned the dark arts from the fallen angels. And how'd they learn them? It tells us right here at the beginning in this, on page 137b of the Zohar, that this book of God's supernal wisdom, his primordial Torah, was first given to Adam, but it later came into the hands of the B'nai Elohim, the sons of God. But also the wise, and this is like a counterpoint, immediate counterpoint. The sons of God, it's taken to be known by whoever would read this that they would be familiar with Jewish history and Jewish teaching, because you're raised in the tradition from the time that you're a child, from the time, from, I believe it's the age of 10 that you begin to learn, if you're a male child, that you began to learn Torah, to study Torah every single day. So you'd be expected by the writers, by the redactors of the Zohar, to know these things without them saying it. To know that when it says sons of God, this means the fallen ones, the wicked ones. And then right next to it, it says these are the ones into whose hands this book of Sefer HaRaziel fell into. But right after that, it says the wise of their generation. That's not in opposition to the sons of God. That's in contradistinction. So it fell into the hands both of the wicked, B'nai Elohim, sons of God, and the wise of their generation. The two polar opposites. And then it says, and whoever was privileged to peruse it could learn from it supernal wisdom. So this shows us that from the primordial Torah, or indeed from any mystical text, you can learn whether you are a wicked person with an evil motive, or you are a righteous person with a righteous motive, wanting to perform the highest tikkun. Either way, if you obtain access to the mysteries of God, Raziel, Razim Elohim, so to speak, then those mysteries will be revealed to you, whether you're wicked or evil. But the result is going to fall upon your head, upon your soul, for whatever you do. And this is why it is that so much of this esoteric wisdom in Merkabah mysticism, and now as we're moving into Kabbalah, why all mystical wisdom is kept out of the hands of just the general public. Because it's so dangerous if it falls into the wrong hands. People can literally become magicians and sorcerers. And of course, in terms of Kabbalah, this is called using the Kabbalah to enact, or using the methodologies of the dark arts or practical Kabbalah. And I've had people ask me, well, when are you going to start teaching on practical Kabbalah? I'm not ever going to teach on practical Kabbalah. Never. Because that's forbidden to do. And for good reason. Because in the wrong hands, it corrupts. And a person who is not ready for it can be consumed by it, and can become obsessed by dark spirits, and can wreak a huge amount of damage, not just on his own soul, but on other people around him and on the world. And this has happened in the past. And so, no, I will never be teaching on that. I will teach about it, as I'm doing right now at this moment. I'm talking a little bit about what it is, but I will never teach it, because we are forbidden to do so. Okay, so now then, as this, so much is contained just in this one sentence here. Okay, then the next sentence says, this book was brought down to Adam. Now it's going to say the means by which it's brought down. By the master of mysteries. The Hebrew for that is Baal Razim. Baal HaRazim. Master of the mysteries. And this means the angel Raziel. The angel who is the keeper of the mysteries of God. And it says, preceded by three messengers. Does this remind you of any place in Genesis where a human being has a vision or is visited, however you want to look at it, physically, by three messengers from God? Well, yes. Yes. Abraham was visited by three messengers. Three men came to Abraham in the heat of the afternoon on the day that Abraham had circumcised his foreskin in order to show outwardly the inward covenant that he had made with God, God the Father. He was sitting in his pain and misery by the tent of his door in the heat of the afternoon, and he saw, shimmering as it were in the heat waves as a mirage, three men, three strangers coming to him. He did not know who these three men were. What did he do? It'd be easy for him to just sit back and wait and see if they come down to his tent or if they pass by. Remember, his tent was on the ridge overlooking the plain of the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, where his cousin Lot was living, and so there was a crossroads up on that ridge. One way would take you, one path would take you one way to some other places. One way would take you down onto the plain where those two cities were, Sodom and Gomorrah, and so he could have just sat there to see if they wanted to talk to him or take one of the pass roads. But no, what he was the first missionary of God. He would spread the word of God being one. This is the great knowledge. This is the great finding, the great discovery that is exclusive to Judaism in the organized religions. And I mean, they were the first ones to find this out, to learn of this. And this was the great discovery attributed to Abraham, that God is one. Adonai Echad. God is one. And so what he would do, even prior to, but certainly even more so after the circumcision, what he would do is when he would see people coming to the crossroads, and he deliberately put his tent up by the crossroads so that he'd see them. He'd be the watcher. He'd see them. What he would do is he would run up there and greet strangers. And today, this is what he did on that day when he sat in the heat of the afternoon by the door of his tent, on the day of the circumcision of his penis as the outward sign of his inner conversion. He got up in all of his pain and in that heat and in his weakness, and he ran out to those strangers. And he said, Lord, will you please come down and let me wash your feet, let my wife bring forth some bread and some meat, and I will bring forth water and wine, and please come and be refreshed. And God said, be it as you say. May it be as you say. And then, of course, I'm not going to get into the rest of the story. But here is Abraham recognizing that this group of three men, these three messengers, and they come and they tell him that they've come to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah for their wickedness. And so they are, in a sense, three messengers. But he also recognizes that God is one, and those three messengers are really the Lord, Adonai, Hashem. So that's an instance in which later on we see in the book of Genesis, in the Torah, that three messengers are sent to man. In this case, the three messengers are the angel Raziel, sent down from God. the keeper of God's wisdom, the keeper of God's mysteries. This would be the essence, the fourth layer down in the Torah, the sod, the layer of secrets that was the book that was being brought to Adam. Okay, so now we go on. It says, when Adam was expelled from the Garden of Eden, he tried to keep hold of this book, but it flew out of his hands. Now, elsewhere, we are taught, similarly, that when he was expelled from the Garden of Eden was the time when Raziel brought it to Adam and gave it to Adam. And he did so because he felt so sorry for Adam. But the Zohar tells us that that it was sent down by God himself, the Holy One, blessed be He, because the Holy One, blessed be He, wanted him to have it. And it was sent down prior to Adam and Eve being cast out of the garden. And that's because God knew that this was going to happen, that they were going to fall from grace and be cast out. In any event, this was a magical book. And it says here, when Adam was expelled from the Garden of Eden, he tried to keep hold of this book, but it flew out of his hands. Imagine a book opening up and flapping away, just like the two halves of the open book are wings. And that's what you can see here. He thereupon supplicated God with tears for its return. That means he prayed to God and begged for its return. God took pity upon him, and it was given back to him. And here's the reason: in order that wisdom might not be forgotten of men. That means the Torah. And that they might strive to obtain knowledge of their master. Because where does the knowledge of God come from? It comes from the Torah. The Torah, where God is described to us, where God's purposes are set forth to us, where we learn that God created the world and put man in it in order to have a creature with whom he could share his infinite, perfect goodness. We get all of this out of the Torah and nowhere else. This is where we obtain knowledge of our master being HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He. Now I'm going to check my time here and make sure I'm not running too long. Okay. So, this is about the Sefer HaRaziel. Now, it was given to Adam when he was expelled from the garden. It flew out of his hands. He prayed to God and it was given back. What lesson do we learn from this? We learn a couple of lessons. One is that we learn that there's a separation between the sacred or holy and the profane. That the two are not comfortable being mixed together. So when the sacred book that was given to Adam was given to him inside the garden, it remained with him. Because everything in the garden, including Adam and Eve, were sacred and holy. But when Adam sinned, and Hava, Eve, his wife, sinned by eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then they were no longer clean. They were unclean. And God expelled them from the garden. And so Adam, who was holding this book in his hands, when they stepped out of the Garden of Eden, they stepped out into the profane, mundane world, the world where things are unclean. And the book instantly flew out of his hands. It could not endure this world of physical things and time. And so it flew out of his hands. And it returned to the world of the sacred, the world of holiness, where God was in the garden, Gan Eden. And so then that's one lesson we learn, that the two may not be mixed. And if they are, they have to be separated. Holiness and evil can indeed be mixed. They are mixed in the abyss and in this world in the form of the holy sparks, which are trapped in the evil shells and the evil husks. Probably very little of which you know anything about right now, but more of which you will when I begin to teach on the Zohar of the Arizal, Isaac Luria. But that's some ways off. But just take my word for it. There is holiness mixed with evil, and that's in the form of Nitzotzot, the holy sparks that are trapped within the evil husks, the evil shells, and that holiness, that sacred spark of light, has to be retrieved. This is a part of our avodah, our holy mission, our divine mission given to us as human beings in this world. Or did you think that we are born only to have free will and do whatever we want in this life? Oh, were it so. No. God has a reason for everything. God made this world and us put us in it in order to share his perfect goodness. But he can't share that perfect goodness until this world is repaired. And that involves, in large part, the retrieval, the setting free of the Nitzotzot, the holy sparks that are trapped in the evil husks, the evil shells, and the holy souls that are held captive in the abyss. More about that all later. But anyway, so that's one of the lessons that's here in this sentence. That it says that, or this little part here that talks about how the book fell out of his hands, and then Adam prayed to God, and it was given back to him. Now, that part of the lesson is that we can pray to God, and that God can overcome the natural order of the universe. And this is called God's mercy. This is called God's loving kindness, chesed, spelled in English, C-H-E-S-E-D, chesed. And God, if he is moved by our prayers and our kavana, our mystical intention, by the purity of that kavana and the sincerity of it and the intensity of it, and if it suits his purposes, then he will overturn the natural order that he has already set into motion. In other words, he'll overturn all the laws, the physical laws of the universe and the psycho-spiritual laws of the universe, because all the physical laws really are at their root psycho-spiritual, meaning mystical, metaphysical. That's what all of the leading quantum physicists are beginning to conclude and find now. At the root of all the physical laws of the universe are metaphysical or divine or psycho-spiritual causes. In other words, God, even though they're very uncomfortable in acknowledging that. That's where it's all headed. And so Adam prays, and first of all, the book flies out of his hands because the natural laws of the universe are that the profane and the holy, sacred, cannot be mixed, cannot coexist in the same place at the same time. And so it flies away from him back into the divine world of the spirit. And then Adam prays with tears to God for its return. And then God gives it back to him. He overturns those laws that prevent its being in this dimension of our universe, in this world, as we call it. And why does he do it? Well, certainly he's moved by compassion and mercy for Adam, but more so for all of mankind, because it says right here, that they might strive to obtain knowledge of their master. Oh, it says, in order that wisdom might not be forgotten of men, and that they might strive to obtain knowledge of their master. So that's the reasons that God originally gave the book to Adam and then allowed Adam to have it, even though he was unclean and passed into the unclean, profane world of time and space and matter. He allowed Adam to have this sacred book, this magical book. Amen, amen. All right. That concludes our teaching for today. Don't forget, it concludes the teaching for today, but it will be rebroadcast tonight in the same room as you came to right now, at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Time. And we will be teaching again this upcoming Wednesday, teaching live at the same time, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. And I hope to see you there. And if you know somebody, a friend or relative who you think might be interested, bring them with you. In the meantime, until we meet again, don't forget to remember God at least twice a day. And until we meet again, may you go from strength to strength and be well. Zeigesund.